Papa explains the war like this.
When the elephants dance, the chickens must be careful.
The great beasts, as they circle one another, shaking the trees and trumpeting loudly, are the Americanos and the Japanese as they fight. And our Philippine islands? We are the small chickens. I think of baby chicks I can hold in the palm of my hand, flapping wings that are not yet grown, and I am frightened. Papa is sick. His malaria has returned double strong, and his face is the color of dishwater. He sweats in his sleep, but shakes beneath the woven blankets. When he talks, there is phlegm and a quacking in his voice that is hard to listen to. As eldest son, I have been given the duty of food trader for the day. I go in search of rice, beans, camotes, papaya, pineapple, canned tomatoes, carnation milk, quinine for the malaria, anything I can find. Even the foul-smelling durian fruit with its spiked shell would be a blessing. Pork would be a miracle. We are all very thin, like skeletons. Since the Japanese chased the Americanos away 3 years ago, a kilo of rice now costs 50 centavos, more than 4 times the original price. The Japanese have created new money, but it's no good. We call it Mickey Mouse money. We trade for everything these days. Work, food, medicine. I carry my basket of cigarettes to barter with. I worked 12 evenings in Manila to earn these, serving coffee and whiskey to the families on Dewey Boulevard who have been allowed to remain in their mansions and villas. These families were the ones who stood in the streets and waved white flags for the Japanese Imperial Army when they first arrived. I would walk 20 kilometers south each day from our hometown of Santa Maria in Bulacan Province to work these houses in Manila. I kept watch as the men smoked and played mahjong on the stone and marble verandas. Their tables faced Manila Bay, her violet sunsets, and the streets lined with coconut palms. At the end of each evening, I would go to see the hostess, Doña Alfonsa, her face white like a geisha's from too much talcum. She sat in her spacious parlor beneath a row of matching ceiling fans. The blades were made of straw and shaped like spades. Each night, she lifted opal-ringed fingers and counted 3 packs of lucky strikes, one for every 4 hours that I worked. She paid me in cigarettes, and I made certain the cups were always full. My brother, Roderick, accompanies me in my search for food. He is 2 years younger, and today is his 10th birthday. He must be careful not to step on the dead, and the Japanese soldiers must be avoided at all costs. The first is Mama's request. The second, Papa's order. Pay attention! I grab Roderick by his shirt and point to a man lying face down. He frowns. It's impossible! They are everywhere! The stench is terrible in this heat. It rises like steam from a bowl of bad stew. I try to breathe through my mouth. Mrs. Del Rosario has been staring at the sky for 3 days. Her skin has rotted and the animals have taken their share. Her robe is thrown open and her right leg is pointed in a strange direction. I try not to look when we pass. Roderick becomes stuck to his spot. He was a favorite of hers. Don't look. We must go. I nudge him. He turns to me. His eyes are angry and red. He looks away. The blue flies cover the bodies like death veils. They land on our faces, bringing kisses from the dead. We swat them away quickly. Early this morning, before light, we heard the rumble of tanks and saw many Americano soldiers in green uniforms and heavy boots marching in the dark. Papa said that their destination would be the Paco Railroad Station, an area well guarded by the enemy. Ever since General MacArthur's voice was heard on the radio saying that he has returned, all citizens have taken to hiding in their cellars. No one leaves their homes unless it's an emergency. It is best to stay hidden from the Japanese soldiers. Their tempers are short now that the Americanos have reappeared. They are quick to slap us on the face or grab a fistful of our hair. Everyone is under the suspicion of being for MacArthur.